you pray for me during the week, please pray that I'll be able to remember all the things that I'm adding to the service now. I have to remember the mailbox now, so we have to add another thing there. And I get confused sometimes, but God is good. All the time. All the time. Amen. Just thought of Ada Lamb. She's a friend of ours who always said that. So I hope Ada is doing well today, wherever she is. So we have a wonderful month ahead of us, starting today with Mission Month. I'm not sure if we really ever designated it as Mission Month in the time I've been here, but it's a good time to start doing that. So we're going to do some things in a little bit different way, including some other aspects of missions. Like today, we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to come back to this room, and we're going to gather to pray for the different aspects of the mission field that we're involved with as a church, with Chinese and English together in one sanctuary room, and really bring ourselves before God as a church so that He will use us in a big way to carry out the Great Commission. Amen? So the Great Commission is what we're going to be looking at today, and it may be well known, but sometimes things like the Great Commission become something that we're aware of and we know exists, and we can even say it, but we have trouble doing it, right? And so it's important that we take what God has given us in His Word, which is reminders. Like, I'm reminding you to do this, and God has put it on our hearts to remind us of the thing that we really were born for into this world, and that is to help others to know about the love of Jesus. Right? And so it's a little bit challenging because we think of ourselves like, oh, we've fallen short, or we haven't done this enough, or how are we going to do that? It's going to be challenging because God wants us to interact with people about our faith. And we're living in a time, just like Pastor Schmoyer reminded us, where right is wrong and wrong is right, and everybody's mixed up and they're thinking all these kind of different things. And so it's very easy to start to feel intimidated by that, but I hope that today God's word and Jesus' words to us will remind us that we don't have to be intimidated. We are His representatives in this world, and He has equipped us with what we need to do that. And so we want to have a very bright and joyful outlook on bringing the good news into the world. I have a few things that I want to share with you in a practical way, but let's take a look. I mean, the Word of God is very practical, but first we want to take a look at the Scripture and see what Jesus is saying to us. If you want to open your Bibles to Matthew 28 again, we'll look at the verses 16 through the end of the chapter. So it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. We're talking about the 11 disciples because Judas was dead. He had hung himself after he realized what he had done, and he had betrayed Jesus Christ. And so there were no longer 12, but there were 11. And then later, when we read in the book of Acts, we read that there was one additional disciple added to the 12. But for now, we're going to look at these 11 disciples. When they went to Galilee, this is an area where Jesus lived, where he preached, where he performed miracles. And this is at the time when Jesus had come back from the dead. So this is the risen Jesus who is speaking here. Amen? It's not the dead Jesus, you know, from up in, you know, going somewhere else. He's there with the disciples. He's appeared to them, and he is telling them, I am here now. I told you I was going to come back to life, and I am back alive. And now I want to tell you to go and do these things, right? And so they went to this mountain, which Jesus had directed them to, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Okay, so the Bible is a very truthful book. It talks about the things like belief, and the people believed in him, but it also mentions that people had doubt. And that pretty much surmises the world that we live in. There are people that we're going to meet that are going to believe us, amen, and there are going to people that doubt. Even among believers, sometimes we doubt, right, in our faith. You have to be encouraged by that, okay? This is not to discourage anyone. It is to encourage you that doubt is something that we go through, but God calls us to trusting him, right? He wants to remove the doubt from our lives so that we can see, yes, we can believe that he is the risen Christ, that he is alive, and that he is what the world needs, okay? So we'll just go on through this. They worshiped him, and then some doubted, and Jesus came and said to them, okay, to the believers and to the doubters, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay, so let's look at that. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. So that is a great starting point, and that is why Jesus said this. It is the most important starting point for everything, that Jesus has been given authority, right, on heaven and on earth. He is the Son of God. He is the one who died for our sins. He is the one that was actually present when all of the things that came into being at the creation were brought into being. It wasn't just a man who came to life through Mary and grew up, and people said he was a miracle worker and he was a special person and a prophet. He was there at the beginning of creation and a part of it. Right? And you can read in the book of John, the first chapter, if you want to see that, right? But those are the things that we know. This dude is the real deal. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior, the promised Messiah that was promised from all the prophecies. And he came into this world through the Holy Spirit, into the womb of Mary, grew to be a man, went to the cross to die for us, rose again and lives again, and he's coming again. Okay, so this is him, but all authority was given to him. And that instills in us, as his witnesses, as his disciples, a great dose of confidence. Okay? Now I want you to think of one thing in your life that you have trouble feeling confident about. Think about one thing that you have trouble feeling confident about. And how can you overcome that? Well, Jesus is saying, I know that it's going to be hard for you because you are going into a very evil world. And I know that because I was just nailed to a cross by people who hated God. So I know how you feel, but I'm telling you that I have all authority in heaven and on earth. And so what I'm going to say to you, and what I'm doing here right now in sending you as my disciples, is going to have great power behind it. I'm telling you that this you can trust me, that this is the thing that people need to know in this lost world. Okay? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and it comes from the Father. The Father who is the Father of all creation. The Father who loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. Authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth, in all places, everywhere. And when the Jewish people hear words like that in the Old Testament, when they say heaven and earth, they mean everything. Amen? He has been given authority over everything. There isn't anything. Heaven or earth, it doesn't matter. It's all his authority. He's God. And so what does he say? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say, I'm going to send you out now. I'm going to heaven. I'll come back one day. And, you know, you're not going to know when that is. But I want you to just hang in there and, you know, live a good life and do the things that I say. And, you know, I really love you. And he says, go. Now go. Based on what I just told you, I have authority over heaven and earth. I have authority over death and life. I have authority over everything. Now, go, right? And therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we have to go to tell people in every nation that he is the risen Savior, that he is the one who's resurrected from the dead. They lived at a time where there were Sadducees, and the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. I can guarantee you that there are Sadducees among us today. There is no resurrection from the dead. A friend of mine, Vincent Derringer, who I love very much, he's a good friend of mine growing up in high school, a good buddy of mine, said to me, we live for this life only. There isn't anything else. And my friend went to Catholic school every day, walking past my house, going up to a church to be taught that there is life after death, and still he said there isn't anything else. So people are confused. They're confused about what they're doing. They're going through the motions of religion, and they're going through the motions. And I grew up in New Jersey, and I can tell you that I'm sad about it because there are so many people who go to church, and they go through the motions, and they go through the catechism, and they go through all these different things. It's not just the Catholic Church. It's every church where kids are growing up in it, and they go out from there, and they think, I didn't hear anything about this. Why? Because they're not hearing it. Because we're broken, sinful people, and we have our attention on other things that are going to be more toward us. And the Bible teaches us that we are selfish people. We're looking out for our own road. I want to go to my own school. I want to make sure that my road is all taken care of. I want to make sure that I have food in my belly. I want to make sure that I have a job so I can pay for bills and have a big house and a car and all these different things. And it's the majority of the civilization that we're living in that is like that. That they want all the things, they just want to make sure that I'm okay. And this is the thing that comes into this kind of a message from God today to Jesus. He's saying, I know you're like that. I'm telling you to go and make disciples of all nations. Why? Because people are dying. And they're dying without knowing Jesus. And so we have that kind of a commission. This is my work. This is what I want you to do. We can't avoid it. I sent out a thing about Blaise Pascal. It's in this book I've been reading about great men in the Bible. And Blaise Pascal was this really, really brilliant person who grew up in exactly like I just described, someone who heard all about these things, heard about God. His own sister wanted to be a nun, right? And she became a nun. And he was saying, you're throwing your life away. And she said, no, this is the grace of God. And I need to do that. I need to give my life to him because he died for me and he gave his life for me. And so I want to give my life to him. I have been touched by such grace. It's amazing, this sister. You hear about his writings and everything like that, but I never heard about his sister before. And she's the one that influenced him the most. She said to him, look, I know that you're refusing the grace of Jesus in your life to save you, but don't push that onto me. I at least be happy that I'm receiving the grace from Jesus. I need and respect the fact that I need to do what he's telling me to do. And so she did that. And then later in life, he came to faith. He knew she was right. He didn't want to admit it. And he became even more well-known than she was. But her example of sacrifice and leading her brother and telling him, this is the truth, this is the way, resulted in him finally giving his life to Jesus. And I wrote down some of the things that he said. He said when he finally realized that I need to give my life to Christ, I need to do what my sister is doing, is to just put all things beside me and all of my ambitions and things like that in life, and I need to focus on Jesus. And he said, it's joy, joy, joy. Joy, 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 to know that God is with him. And he wrote down these words of his prayer to Jesus. And he put them in a little bag and he wore it until he went to his grave, and it went into his grave with him. But he kept it that close to him to remind himself that he belonged to Christ. He belonged to Christ. I think that's a great idea, isn't it? To make a little bag, we can teach the kids, you know, put this little bag or something and hold it close to their heart. We read about the Jewish people doing things like writing the and keeping the word of God wrapped around them and over their shoulders and around this, because they want to make sure that they're close in that way. It doesn't mean they're always going to do that, but it's a great concept because we need those kind of things to remind us. And he did that purposefully. He put the little words of his prayer to say, I belong to Christ. I am a Christian. I want people to know, but I want most of all to be reminded of that so that I don't stray from God. One of the biggest things that this guy said was, I can't believe, this was after he became a Christian, he said, I can't believe how quickly people forget what God has done for them. How they may go through something really, really, really tough, and they're praying, and they're like, God, please help me, please help me. And then they get what they want, and then they forget God. It's all through the Bible. Right? It's all through the Bible like that. But he was trying to reason with all the people, and he wrote down all these words. And his sister said, it's a shame that nobody's going to know about these words that he wrote because they're really good. And they're one of the best known writings among Christian literature today. And they still speak to us because he's addressing the human being life and mind in his time. And they're great for us to read as well. Right? See if I can find one example of what he said here. Ah, I turned down the page. Good. Okay, so Pascal was endlessly fascinated by the ingenuity with which we human beings evade reality. What an extraordinary thing it is, he said, in the pensée. Pensée means thoughts. Those were his thoughts. That a man who has suffered some terrible bereavement or has become involved in some desperate plot can forget his troubles so easily. Born to know the universe, to sit in judgment and to rule, he is wholly concerned with trivialities. He's born to know the universe, so to sit in judgment and to rule, he's wholly concerned with trivialities. Trivialities means things that mean nothing. He's just fascinated with that. And if he tries to rise above them, he will only be departing from his natural state, neither angel nor beast, but just man. There are large evasions of reality. Are you evading reality in your life? What are some of the ways that we do that? Oh man, we get into all kinds of things on the computers to evade things. There's things going on in the world that need attention, right? They need Christian intention. They need our involvement. So yesterday we had a street fair, right? We go out there and we're standing out there and people are walking around. Marissa, what was one thing that stands out in your mind from yesterday? What was something that you heard or that you hear going on in our society today from yesterday?
That people are really hurting, feeling lost.
Yeah. Amen. That's what all these young people selling things, they were all like, you know, people went out there with their goods and they were selling things. There was a couple there that lived somewhere in West New Jersey and have these beautiful candles that they had developed and they were all kinds of different things, and they were sitting there, and I was talking to them, and I went up to them, and I said, what's your story? Can you tell me what your story is in three words? And their answer was, life is hard. Beautiful candles in front of them, beautiful things that they made with their own hands. It's all natural products, all these different things, and they're sitting, and these kids were like maybe 28, maybe younger. Sitting there, bright smiles, everything going for them. Take a look at these beautiful products that we're making, you know, and maybe you'd be interested in them. And I ask them what their story is in life, and they tell me life is hard. That has to get our attention. And they weren't the only ones. The majority of people that I asked that question to, the same exact words, and I believe that God is telling me and you that for a reason. Because I'm the pastor of this church, and you are in the same church as I am, and we have to be able to respond to that. And so my response to them was, my three words are, Jesus loves me. And you know what? My message to you today, and anybody who hears those words or tells me their story, is that God loves you. God loves you. Try it out. Will you try it out this week? Go to somebody and say, what's your story? If you can give me three words, give me three words to describe it and come back and see what you find. Now from the candle making kids that I spoke with, their kids to me, I would say that they need Jesus. Their candles are not making it. They're not finding fulfillment in what they're doing. They could have said to me, I love candles. Buy these candles. Right? Wouldn't that make sense? But they get caught and they're faced with God and who they are and their being and in these different kind of ways. And that's exactly what we're here for. We need to find out and get in touch with people so that we can hear what they're saying and then bring hope into their lives. Yes, life is hard, but it's sweet because you know Jesus and he saves you from your sins and he brings light into darkness and he can save your soul. So that you're no longer just living for this and the things that you're doing. He has given you this gift. Put his name on the candle. He's the light of the world. Amen? They have it right there in front of them. There's a girl that has a very nice girl right across from us, and Marissa was talking to them, and the same kind of thing. Selling beautiful things. Knit together. Remember, she's doing knitting. Knit together in Christ. Knit together as one. You remember that message that we had in our church? He's knitting us together. All these symbols are all during the street fair. They're all over the place right in front of us. And we're like, go and tell the nations about Jesus as my disciples. So that's scary. It's not scary. It's exciting because God has given us this opportunity to get to know people in our community, to know what they're about and to share, put into words, put into use the things that we're doing. Right? It's now is the time for that. And it's right there in front of us. I bought these off this wonderful website, and they have this one. Everybody has a story. This is one you can use. We have more of these. You can take it and you can give it to someone. I think it's the Gospel of John. Anyway, it has the Gospel in here. And so you just go like this, right? I gave one of these to a guy with a pen on it. And I asked him the same questions, and he was really happy telling me about his story. And in three words, he was visibly, you know, taken with that question that I believe is from God, not from me. And he said to me, I'll take the pen, you can keep the book. And I was like, but he took the pen, and the pen has our address on it. Okay. So he could still come here, right? So there's different things we could do. We'll come back to that in a minute. Teaching. So he said, I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. When was the last time that you talked to somebody intending for them to be baptized? When was the last time that you went to someone saying, we have a church and we're having a baptism on November 10th for our church anniversary. Why don't you come and find out about Jesus and you could be baptized and your life can be turned around and you can have hope forever? Why is it that we're always thinking about people in our own church when we're thinking about baptisms? Sooner or later we run out, right? So what do? We go out and we make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we tell them about a baptism. We bring them to a baptism. We say, this is going to take place. At least you can invite the person and see for themselves what goes on and hear the testimony that is given on that day. Never mind the pastor. Never mind somebody who is a seminary student talking to them. You are a disciple. And you have been empowered by a God who has all authority over heaven and on earth to go and make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are all disciples of Jesus Christ. And we are all responsible for bringing that word to people. So go and do it. You've been baptized. Go and do it. What is keeping you back? Okay? I'm with you on this. It's not easy standing out on the street and some people saying, here, take the Bible back. Or, no, I don't want any of that. And sometimes people say things that are not so nice. But there are other people that do. And they ask, what is the meaning of life? And we tell them. Marissa was out there praying for people, over them, with Don. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So we don't only baptize, we don't make disciples and just do that, but we teach them. What do you know about the Bible? What can you share with somebody in your life? We have students here, right? We have people from all different ages. You are equipped already. You've learned a lot in this church. You've been doing it and you've known these things. Now put it into practice and teach someone else. It's not a pastor job. Thank God. It's your responsibility. It's your job. You are responsible. You live in this world. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. So teach them what you know. It doesn't have to be a lesson that is like so complicated. You really just want to share what you know. So I want to come back to this because this is very important, okay? I'm an opera singer. I'm a classical singer. I learn a lot of different words and music that goes into opera. Right? And you always prepare all those different things. And then you have an opportunity to do it. And what happens in that kind of an instance? You've done your homework, you've learned the opera, you know how to say the words in whichever language you're learning. We're equipped all over the place to do these things. And what happens when the chance comes to do it in front of people? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to remember the words. Oh man, I hope I don't mess up in this part over here with this music. Oh, I hope this doesn't go wrong, and I hope that doesn't go wrong. It takes all the joy out of it. Until you finally get to this point where you just say, "Thy will be done, God. I can't, you know, I've done it. I've learned it. So now I just offer it." And that's what we have to do too. I'm all for taking a little book like this one that someone had a great idea about because it's a great tool. But in the end, it comes down to what I say to someone and what I'm sharing with that person in that moment. You don't have to sweat it. Just do it. Because you're digging yourself into the sand. You're digging yourself and you're covering over that light by all these negative thoughts about, if I say this, what are they going to do? If I say that, or what's going to happen here and that kind of thing. But it always comes back to this. I have been given authority over all things. So it's not you. It's not you. It's not me. It's Jesus with all authority working through us to reach people that are dying, that don't have any hope. Life is just hard. Right? And the last part here, he commanded us to observe and to teach them and to observe all that I have commanded you. These things that Jesus teaches us in his Bible, we're to share with them. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that is the biggest one, I think, that helps us with the authority there. You go out to talk with a friend, you pick up the phone and you invite them to church. You talk to them and ask them how they're doing. You talk to them about your faith and those kind of things. You're not alone. We talk about the disciples going out in twos, right? They weren't alone. But the big thing was that Jesus was with them. And so we have to remind ourselves of those kind of things. We get all caught up in our lives with the children go to school and all they think about is, like, how am I going to do in this test? Oh, I hope I get good grades and everything like that. That really isn't what life is about, is it? Is that what we want our kids to know? I mean, that's the majority of the prayers that we're hearing. I hope that I can get a good grade. I hope I do well in school. I hope I can get this. I hope I can get that. All these different things. And God is saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. And we're saying, get a good grade. Get a good grade. Get a good grade. Study hard. Do this. Do that. You got to, you know. I mean, come on, let's use our minds. We're all caught up in all these different things that we hear from these different voices around us and we've been brought up in, and Jesus is standing there and saying, you're missing the point, but I'm here for you and I'm going to see you through this. You got to understand that there's more to life than grades, and there's more than just proving yourself in this kind of a thing. That is the world. This is the kingdom of God. I love you. We have to grow. We have to grow. We're not doing it. So I want you to do this week. I want you to write down a couple of names of people that you see all the time and pray for God to give you the strength and the courage to speak to them about your faith. You can ask them a story like this. What's your story? What are three words? You can come up with something else. Everybody has their own way or something that can help them. But we are looking for an in. We're looking for a way to approach people. There was a guy down the street from us who was representing a business. He was selling aluminum windows. And I really felt bad for those people because they really were getting discouraged, right? We were talking, they were saying how discouraged they were because people walk by. And right before they come to us, there's this guy trying to say, you want to buy some aluminum windows today? And the people are like, you know, and once in a while they'll get one. And then they're thinking, oh, I hope this works. And then they're walking down the street and we're like, hey, you want a Bible? Right? So there's all kinds of things being thrown at people, right? And it's a difficult kind of a situation. But you know what? Some people came and talked to us. Yeah, a lot of people talked to us there. They didn't care if they were already approached by something else. They're looking for more in life. And if we get caught up in saying, oh, they're going to be overwhelmed because these guys are talking to them down there and the Reformed Church before that and all these food things before that, then we're caving in to the strength and the authority of Jesus Christ, who says, I am with you always and I will never leave you. And I'm telling you that people need to hear what I have to say. So tell them. It was a great song by Andre Crouch. Tell them. Even if they don't believe you, tell them. There was another song by the second chapter of Acts. If you guys don't know the second chapter of Acts, you're missing out on one of the great Christian groups of all time. And what they wrote was, I don't want to go home until I've shared the word. How you came to save us with your blood so precious. I hear them crying. I want to share the word before I go home to heaven. I don't want to go home before I share the word. There's another one by the same group, and they said, people are saying things to me, oh, will you please shut up already? Will you please shut up already? We've heard about Jesus to where we're filled up to here. Will you just stop saying it? And they don't stop. The world is tough because people have been ingrained and have been bruised a lot, and they are going through things, and I hear it in young people. I'm not talking about older people. I spoke to a 103-year-old woman who told me her three words are, I love God. God is good. And meanwhile, we have young people who are saying, life is hard. That's the voices we have, okay? And that's what's in the colleges, and that's what's in all these places around us. They need the Lord. They need the Lord. And just with these messages that are written for the children in the mailbox are exactly for you too. And don't you forget it. Those words are not just for children, they're for every single one of you today. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm with you always. I gave my life for you. I know when you get up and I know when you sit down and I know when you go outside and I know when you're inside and when you're playing on the playground. I know wherever you are. I love you. I love you. I'm so proud that you're alive. I knew you before you were born and I have great plans for you. And those are the things we need to tell people because they don't know it. So again, who in your life do you see each week that needs to know your story? What's their story? Tell them your story. And pray that God will help it to happen. I want to end by just sharing something that we gave was very valuable at the OCMA retreat. And there was a wonderful opportunity for us to talk about ways of evangelizing. Evangelizing means sharing the gospel, making disciples, right? And helping people to know the truth. And so they wrote down a very corporate sounding kind of a thing, best practices. but it's meant in a really good way. Best practices and needs for effective, natural, personal evangelism. I have some copies here if you'd like to take one. But these all came from different groups of people, Cantonese, Mandarin, English-speaking Christians all coming together at that retreat. And one of them is know the gospel truth. So we need to know the gospel truth ourselves. Okay? Believe the gospel deep down. There's other things here. Trust in God. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. The second group is prayer. Prayer for opportunities. You have to pray. Got to pray. Through praying, God has to give the desire. And then we have to have a desire to do those things. The third is train and equip. Right? You're all being equipped. You're all being trained here in this church, right? Through the Bible and all the different things that we're doing here. It says, don't wait till you're perfectly ready. Start using what you have. The fourth one is genuine love. You have to love people. You have to love God. You have to love people. We don't love people when we write things or say things to them that can hurt them. Right. Have a desire to help others. Go into the world. Number five, go into the world and be the light of Christ. Look for opportunities. Build relationships. Use your gifts and interests. Right? Use your influence. Be involved in your community. Number six, invite non-believers to church life. Amen. Amen. Invite, these are from all the people in the OCMA, brothers and sisters. Invite non-believers to church life. That doesn't mean just worship. It means the things that we're doing, right, outside of the worship time. Invite people to worship and Bible studies and anything that goes on in the life of the church. Number seven, cultivate a gospel atmosphere in church. Ask each other regularly. That's a great one. Ask each other regularly, are you involved in the gospel? Are you involved in people's lives? Share your experiences in normal conversations, right? In the church. Help each other, right? Bishop Singletary is a wonderful minister that we work with in the New Bridge Hospital. And one of the things he says is, look at each other in the body there, the people that are all there, most of them in wheelchairs. And he says, look at each other and say, beloved, I love you, or something like that. But I want you to take a second now, and I want you to look around, and I know it's hard, but take a look at someone in the church right now. Just look around and meet eyes with people that are near you or in the back or wherever it is. But please make some eye contact with people. Okay, I know it's hard, but just make eye contact, right? It's not so bad. So that is one of the things that actually gets in our way outside, right? We don't think about it inside. We don't look at each other. We're not engaged with each other's Christian lives enough, maybe, you know, or something like that. And I'm not painting a gray picture here. There's many great things that are going on in our church, but we do tend to be a little bit shy. You know, and God can give us that kind of power to overcome the shyness. We always read about the disciples. I bet that many of them were shy. I bet that they were shy these are fishermen. They're going to go into the city and start going into synagogues and telling people about Jesus. You know, can you imagine? I'm much more comfortable working with the fish, okay? And I don't know about this other stuff. But God uses us and he takes us into places that we never thought we would be. Because of there's so much of him in us. He has authority and he is with us always. Amen. So I'm gonna put this list in the back there. If it'll help you, please take a look at it. I can make more copies too. I think it's good for us to post also. So people can take a picture. Brianna has shown us the power of the camera, and you could take a picture of something and bring it right home with you on your camera. So we can do that. But there's a lot of lives that need Jesus, and so that's the biggest thing. Let's not be people who try to evade problems in the world. Let's go in there and get involved and help people to see that Jesus is the way and that we believe in him and that we're not afraid to tell it, okay? So let's sing a song to respond to that, "Take My Life and Let It Be."